Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
He's a Hall of Famer, an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
There it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out. Seven strikeouts through five. Hasn't allowed the Indians a hit.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by Brown & Company Jewelers on Holcomb Bridge Road in Roswell and Peachtree Road in Buckhead, and by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
He is the Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine, kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Tommy G, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Hello.
I'm great. How are you guys?
Chuck's very excited to talk to you as usual. All right, so Twitter went nuts this weekend. Braves fans were hot and bothered, and I get it. Anytime Acuna's hit, they want Snit to call the code red and get, you know, retaliation and get retribution. Do you think the Phillies hit him on purpose?
You know, it's so hard to say. I mean, I didn't see the instance, but we've talked about this a number of times on broadcast with Ronald. Look, teams are going to pitch him in, and that's just the way that it is. You know, he's got a little bit of a, I don't even want to call it a weakness because he doesn't have many weaknesses, but you know, they got a little bit of a spot in above his hands where teams try to pitch him. And to be perfectly honest with you, they have to pitch him in there. It's the one pitch maybe that he struggles with and swings and misses at times. But more than anything else, you have to pitch him in if you're going to have a chance of getting him out away with a fastball or a slider. So that's just the nature of the beast with Ronald. I think sometimes – you know, you get guys out there that have less than great control and not even sometimes, a lot of times now in today's game. And then it becomes dangerous. So, you know, I don't think every time Ronald gets hit, he's getting hit on purpose by the opposing team. I do think they have to pitch him in, but, you know, it's one of those things that, again, I'm not there. I'm not in uniform. I don't know if there's history with guys, that's stuff that they have to figure out as a team. But to the fan base, no, I don't think he's getting hit on purpose every time he gets hit.
So, all right, in this instance, once he gets hit, the response from, again, I'm probably quoting social media here too much, Tom, but work with me. You got to retaliate right away. We got to get retribution. Or as Eric O'Flaherty, who went on Twitter, said, you do want to get some, you know, retribution, but you don't do it tonight in a close game. You do it the next day, and the Braves hit Real Muto yesterday. Do you agree with that formula?
I do. I mean, it's not always the next inning, the first hitter that comes up, you know? First and foremost, you don't send a message when Ronald Acuna gets hit by hitting some other team's eighth place hitter, right? So that kind of falls on deaf ears. So in this instance, obviously with the Phillies, you know, their two studs are Harper and Real Muto. So yeah, you're going to probably hit one of those two guys. You know, maybe Real Muto in this case, because he is a catcher, and if it was on purpose, he certainly had something to do with it. So I get that. Absolutely. And yes, you have to factor in a lot of times you have to factor in the situation in the game. If you're in a tight game, you don't necessarily want to go drill somebody to lead off an inning, or drill somebody with two outs in an inning when you can move on. I mean, all of that comes into play. And listen, I was on a team, ironically enough, with Roger McDowell when the whole Dale Murphy thing went down with me and Otis Nixon and everybody. You know, we got Roger a year later. We finally got an opportunity to get him back. So, you know, I get the fans' perspective. They want instant satisfaction. I mean, that's the world we live in. But sometimes that's not the best scenario. Sometimes you got to wait and bide your time a little bit.
Charlie Morton, he's walking a little bit too many guys. He's getting hit a little bit too much. And, you know, nothing outlandish, but this is not Charlie Morton. I mean, the results just aren't there right now. Do you see anything?
No, you know what? Not necessarily, right? I mean, I think I've done a couple of his games, and obviously he's been except the big inning, which, you know, on the one hand, you can divide Charlie's season and say, oh man, you know, and I've done it. I'm not saying because I provide analysis to people. You know, you look at his four innings that he's given up all his runs and his ERA was whatever it was. And the other 25 innings, it was spectacular. Well, the problem is you can't eliminate those four innings and those innings are happening for a reason. And if Charlie was a young guy, I'd say, well, you know what? His concentration or his focus maybe shifts from time to time, and that's why he's susceptible to big inning. Or, you know, every once in a while with two outs, he figures the inning's over and he can relax. Well, Charlie's a veteran. He's not doing that stuff. I do think from time – if there's one thing that Charlie – the numbers on Charlie jump out at me a tiny bit, is he's had a hard time putting guys away. In other words, he gets the strike two in pretty good fashion, but then he's had a hard time putting a guy away, and that's not typical of Charlie. So that tells me that his breaking ball at times maybe, or his fastball command at times isn't quite what he wants, and when he's making that two-strike pitch, he's not making it the way he wants to, and he's either giving up a hit or he's missing, and a hitter's forcing him to make another one, and then he's making a mistake. And that happens to guys from time to time. I from time to time would have struggle with that. You know, you get the strike one, strike two, no problem. And then I'll be damned, you can't make a pitch, you know, and that happens. And I think a lot of times that happens because you're aware of it and you try really hard not to let that happen. And what ends up happening in those instances is you're making pitches not to make mistakes, or you're trying to make pitches that are perfect pitches. And when you start doing that, you get in trouble.
Tom Glavine, the Hall of Famer with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
Tom, I'll tell you something I saw over the weekend, just a random thing, and I want to know at least what the idea is for a pitcher. How do you use the obsession with launch angle and exit velo? How do you want to use that against hitters? Musgrove the other day against the Giants, I'm just watching on Saturday for whatever reason, he buries a slider. Damn thing almost winds up under home plate. Brandon Crawford? He looks like he's on a tee box at a golf course. He hits that thing about mid-shin, and it goes 410 feet. How do you use that against hitters?
Well, I think that's what you try. That's what you see pitchers trying to do so often today's game is they pitch above the launch angle, which means they're pitching up in the strike zone. Now, that's a marked change in philosophy from when I played. You know, when we played, it was you keep everything down, you keep the ball on the ground, you elevate the ball, then the hitter's going to elevate it and get it up in the air. So it's a complete reversal from when I played. Now, I'm not somebody that 100% buys into it. I understand the theory of launch angle, I do, and I understand the theory of pitching above it, but where I struggle with it is you get guys in today's game who have less fastball command, arguably, than any point in that I've been playing or playing the game or broadcasting the game. And now we're asking them to a pitch to an area in the strike zone where you have a really, really small margin for error. When you start talking about pitching at the hands just above the belt, that's a pretty small area to go to and not make a mistake, because if you throw it belt a little bit down and throw a belt high, that's the pitch that's getting crushed. So that's where I struggle with it, is you're asking guys with minimal command to pitch to a really tight area. And I still don't buy 100% into this notion that every guy who has that launch angle type swing, you can't pitch him down. Because, yeah, you're going to get beat every once in a while. A guy's going to get lucky or he's going to flip the bat on a pitch that's low and hit a home run. But by and large, I think if you watch highlights of home runs, the pitches aren't really down in the strike zone. They're thigh high, you know, they're thigh high to waist high. Maybe a guy was trying to go down and away and he missed thigh high away. That's a far different pitch than a pitch that's truly knee high or at the hollow of the knee on the outside corner. So I just feel like that there's been too much getting away from trying to pitch down in the zone still. I still think there's places to go down there, but in theory, like I said, that's what it is. You picture a guy that's got that uppercut swing and you're trying to pitch above that uppercut, but a lot of guys in today's game have a hard time doing it.
Tommy, last thing for you. We know how good Wascarino has been. I thought it was really impressive that he gives up the solo home run to lead off the game, which for a guy who's been going well, maybe that rattles you and you think, okay, they've got something on me. Boy, he settled in and was as good as he's been in, what, four of these last five starts. He continues to be just dominant.
Look, he's been unbelievable, right? I mean, he's got great stuff. He earned the opportunity to get a start, and when he got it, he made the most of it, and he hasn't let go of it. And he's really been fun to watch. I mean, there's a guy who goes out there and he attacks the strike zone. He gets after it with hitters, and he uses all of his pitches. And yeah, I mean, I love the fact that he's able to go out there and give up a home run and it doesn't rattle him. You know, that's the sign of maturity. I mean, there's that old saying in baseball, solo home runs don't beat you, but big innings do. So to see him bounce back and just go about his business and do that, it's really been fun to watch. I've been impressed by him, but I'm as you could imagine, I'm even more impressed by his hitting. That's been really fun to watch.
That's the Glavin School of hitting.
That's right.
Tommy G, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
There's the Hall of Famer Tom Glavin on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Remember, Ken Nugent and the Braves teaming up to give back to Georgia's first responders. Ken is donating $500 per series to an ambulance driver, firefighter, paramedic, or EMT. To nominate a local hero, go to attorneykennugent.com. Winners will be announced after each series and each Monday during the Tom Glavin Show. With this radio program, congratulations to James Everett from Albany. He's with the Webster County EMS. Thanks to Michael Jackson. Not that Michael Jackson. He's with the Peachtree Fire and Rescue. And Tyler Kelly from Duluth, McDonough Fire. And great job by all those folks. And we appreciate you guys submitting for everybody else. Get your nominations in now. AttorneyKenNugent.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.